You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Hiya.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Lovely to speak with you again.
Of course.
There's been a lot going on, like we said there would be.
So much.
So that's good.
It's been a crazy, crazy week.
I feel like we're always going to have a lot to talk about.
I know. It's like the opposite of what we always worry about with losing content. It's like there's just an overhaul of it and like you don't have enough time to discern all of it.
That's good. It means we can fill up the lack of other content we'll probably have on the show with intense amounts of Brexit. Yeah. So I think firstly it would be good if we could just pretty much debrief what actually has gone down in the last 7 days or so.
So, well, you know, last week when we caught up, what had just happened was there had been a resounding rejection of Theresa May's draft deal with the EU for post-Brexit deals. Parliament shot her down, and then they later had a motion of no confidence that she narrowly survived, really narrowly survived, which I think surprised a lot of people, definitely surprised the opposition who were sort of hanging on to hopes that they could maybe push for a general election. But since then, today, our time in the House of Commons, Theresa has said that the EU is not going to allow Article 50 to be extended, which pretty contestable. A lot of people have kind of been saying, like, no, the EU is happy for you to revoke it, let you back in. But she kind of stands by the idea that it is her government's role to listen to the British public, who in 2016 very narrowly said that they want to leave, even though many have now changed that decision. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has spent a lot of time pointing out how, you know, she's exhibited way more care for her own Conservative Party than the British public over the last little while. So it's sort of questionable how much she, I suppose, actually wants to revoke Article 50. It kind of sounds like she's maybe just saying that.
Right. So what does that, I mean, what does that exactly mean? What is, in terms of politics? Well, no, I mean, in terms of politics, having this sort of dispute between the Prime Minister and the rest of the government, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, every time that you listen to Parliament debate here, it's so much more biting each other's neck than I'm used to in New Zealand, and I thought that New Zealand Parliament was bad, so that's pretty crazy. But you know, I imagine it would be pretty frustrating if you are a member of the British public listening to that being the debate that centres Brexit, because it just doesn't sound like anything is getting done. And I mean, like, it was always going to be like that as soon as they voted and got themselves into that mess. So I guess it just sort of means more complications and more time pressure and more fluffing around before anything is sort of finalised.
And it really does seem like nothing seems to get done, because we have all these distractions like a no confidence vote and the fact that a deal doesn't seem to get through and things like that. How do you think Theresa May actually managed to survive that vote? Because like you said, the opposition were pretty kind of cocky, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I'm not sure I would say that they were cocky. I think Jeremy Corbyn is sort of at a it's sort of dire straits here. It's sort of like his last resort for the hope of his nation. But I mean, I think the way that she was able to survive is partly that there still is a solid base of Brexiteers in the Conservative Party who want it to happen, so will support her supporting it. And then there's also the fact that anyone else who's you know, originally was voted Remain when David Cameron first put this forward, supports her for the fact that she stuck out and did what she did for the Conservative Party over the last couple of years, even though, you know, I would say that she's done that at the detriment of her own nation. So
what's been the commentary around all of this in the media or from the public over the last week? What's the kind of narrative of Theresa May at the moment?
It really depends where you read, but there definitely were a couple of articles over the last little while where it was it's risky to border on the terms of partisan and that kind of thing, but there was definitely some writing in The Guardian that I kind of was like, whoa, I don't think I'd ever in New Zealand would hear someone be that vehemently opposed to policy. But I suppose it's kind of different because it's Brexit. It's fractured, you know, the whole political landscape.
And yeah.
There's a lot more leeway for people to be that expressive. But there was stuff, analysis of what she said in Parliament today was sort of saying, like, her speech today said more, like, had more detail and promises than she'd ever had before in her time as Prime Minister. And then the next sentence was sort of something along the lines of, but that's not really saying much because she kept people in the dark for so long. And I guess the rest of it is just sort of, it's like I was saying at the start, it's hard to discern. Like, it's an overload of information, and it's not.
And everyone has an opinion, and journalists included. Like you say, every newspaper will have a different take on it. It's so subjective.
It is a very divisive topic, so I don't see how it couldn't be like that for sure.
Now, bringing it slightly closer to home, Jacinda Ardern is in the UK at the moment. She's just met with Theresa May. Do we actually know what they've talked about?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, Jacinda is here. She's planning to also see Prince William, and she also caught up with Meghan Markle again since they met last year. But when she saw Theresa May, they talked. She was in Downing Street, which is where Theresa lives, and they met a whole lot of, I believe, like military officials, young military officials who, from the video of what they were talking about, it kind of sounded like they were young army members on training programs of some sorts here, and Jacinda was really engaged in conversations with them. And then there was one female soldier who is on some sort of two-year program over from New Zealand. She's from Christchurch, so it was cool seeing two New Zealanders getting to talk about our little country in Downing Street in front of everyone.
That's exactly what happens when any Kiwi meets another Kiwi overseas. You've got to talk about where you're from and who you know.
Yeah, that's sort of been my last little month as well. No, but Jacinda and Theresa May were primarily talking about, Jacinda has been very firm and assuring the UK that she sees New Zealand has great ties with the UK that she would like to keep, and that no matter the stance England takes post-Brexit, Jacinda said New Zealand will support you, and you know, we rely on that trade a lot. So Theresa May actually afterwards went into Parliament this evening and said, I've just met with the New Zealand Prime Minister, so there we still have that trade prospect, and the opposition just laughed.
Maybe you know a bit more about where Jacinda's heading next in Europe?
Yeah, she's going to Davos in Switzerland for the World Economic Forum, and so that will sort of continue a lot of the discussions about trade agreements and stuff, but it'll sort of swing to the other side of Brexit, because when she goes to Switzerland and then later when she goes to Brussels, it'll all be EU-centred instead of England-centred. So, yeah, and I think Finance Minister Grant Robertson is going with her as well, so they're seeing it as quite like an important opportunity to underline the position that New Zealand can play post-Brexit on that side of the world. It is interesting, though. You get excited as a New Zealander, especially when you're living here, seeing them talking to each other, but they don't care about us that much apart from when we come over and visit them, so it does sort of feel...
Well, they've got to put on a good show.
Yeah.